Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Connie reading the Odessa American for Wednesday, July 13, 2022. Neighbor Testifies in Odessa Murder Trial by Kim Smith. It's been nearly 3 years ago since he witnessed his neighbor die right in front of him, and the memories still haunt him, Daniel Saucedo testified Tuesday. Tuesday was the second day in Michael Shunt's trial in the 161st Ector County District Court. Assistant Ector County District Attorneys Scott Turner and Ricky Ernest are attempting to convince jurors Schultz knowingly and intentionally killed his stepfather, Roy Eugene Reeves, 57, on October 28, 2019. Defense attorney Scott Lay is arguing Stultz stabbed Reeves 17 times while defending himself and his mother from an abusive alcoholic. A protective order Margaret Reeves has taken out against her estranged husband had just lapsed, and the incident took place shortly after Eugene Reeves showed up at the house he once shared with her on North Lincoln Avenue, Lay told jurors. On Tuesday, jurors heard from Saucedo, Texas Department of Public Safety Charles Henry, OPD Officer Bill McLeod, OP Detective Donnie Rocha, and a couple of crime scene technicians. Saucedo, an oilfield worker, told jurors he lived on North Lincoln Avenue for about 19 years. He didn't really know Reeves, but he did bring him a six-pack of beer twice over the years after Reeves took it upon himself to mow his lawn, Saucedo said. On October 28, 2019, Saucedo said he was getting ready to take his son to the ball field when his dog began barking in an unusual way. After checking out his backyard, Saucedo said he made his way to the front of the house where he began to hear two voices yelling. When he looked out his curtains, he saw Reeves at his house across the street walking toward the tailgate of Reeves' Toyota pickup. Almost immediately, Saucedo said he saw Schultz join Reeves behind the truck. "That's where I saw Mr. Michael, what it looked like to me, punching him in the chest," Saucedo said. Reeves reacted by swinging wildly at Schultz before collapsing, he said. Saucedo testified he then saw Schultz retreat to his home, which sat behind the Reeves house, Saucedo said. Saucedo told jurors he yelled to his wife to call 911 and he ran across the street to help Reeves, who he quickly discovered had been stabbed multiple times. "I was trying to keep him awake. I was trying to keep him talking to me and moving," Saucedo said. "The details of that day have never left him," he testified. "Come October, it hits me like a freight train," Saucedo said. "I've never seen anything happen like that in front of my eyes." During cross-examination from Lay, Saucedo acknowledged he was unaware of many of the details jurors heard about Monday. He did not know that it's alleged Reeves purposely prevented his estranged wife from leaving the property by blocking her SUV in with his Toyota, that he'd assaulted her, or that she'd called 911 prior to the stabbing. Jurors spent much of Tuesday watching the body cam footage of Henry and McLeod and surveillance footage captured by motion-detecting cameras set up at the home directly across the street from the Reeves home. The cameras did not pick up Reeves arriving at the house around 7 p.m. that day. They began recording when a clearly distraught Margaret Reeves ran across the street from her home screaming for neighbors to call 911. The cameras show from various angles and at a distance Reeves sitting on his tailgate, someone walking away, and Reeves collapsing to the ground. They also show Margaret Reeves walking back from her neighbors, picking something up off the ground near Reeves' prone body and removing items from his pickup truck. On the officers' body cams, Margaret Reeves is heard berating the officers, saying she's called the authorities multiple times before and they could have prevented the stabbing. She tells the officers her son is in his house and apparently alarmed at the fact they've drawn their weapons, repeatedly tells them he's not going to hurt them. Schultz is seen coming out of his house and being taken into custody at gunpoint without incident after telling the officers the knife is in his pocket. While the officers try to get basic information from Margaret Reeves, such as people's names and dates of birth, she alternates between trying to tell her story and trying to get her keys from her son's house. She also spends a few minutes on the phone telling someone about the stabbing, telling them that her estranged husband isn't breathing as paramedics work to save him in the background. "My husband, he's torturing me. I had to move out of my house," she said moments later, explaining Reeves is an alcoholic bad. Margaret Reeves told the officers, "I've been trying and trying and trying to get the protective order extended. For 2 years I've been waiting on lawyers. Everything's got to be done on computers, and I don't know how." Jurors also saw photos of Schultz taken within hours of the incident. He had scratches on his head, but no wounds on his hands or arms. Rocha testified someone would have to get up close in order to stab someone 17 times, but acknowledged under cross-examination they could easily stab someone while in a headlock. The trial is being presided over by retired Ector County District Court Judge Tryon Lewis. Second man named in game room robbery by OA News. An Odessa man who was arrested following the robbery of a game room employee has, in a probable cause affidavit, named his accomplice as Tyro Sharman Booker. According to an Odessa Police Department report, Duran O'Shea Haynes, 35, is accused of following an employee of the Texas Big Oil Game Room, 505 North Dixie Boulevard, into a break room on June 27th and demanding money from her while brandishing a knife. A second man, now named as Booker, stood lookout at the door of the break room, and a third man waiting in a car in the parking lot. The woman handed over her purse, which contained $2,000, and the men fled, the report stated. Haynes was identified as the man with the knife using surveillance footage, Facebook jail mugshots, and old police body camera footage, according to the report. Haynes was booked into the Ector County Jail on suspicion of aggravated robbery. Online Ector County Jail records show Haynes is also being held on a parole violation charge. Ector County District Court records show he was sentenced to 25 years in prison in December 2017 after pleading guilty to burglary of a habitation. It is unclear when he was paroled. The PC affidavit details that Booker's Texas ID also positively identified him. Booker was arrested on aggravated robbery with a bond of $25,000. Jail records show he has not been released. Records also show a lengthy criminal history for Booker, including reckless driving, possession, failure to appear, bail jumping, and theft, along with parole violations. Three men are dead following a two-vehicle collision by OA News. Three men are dead following a two-vehicle collision Monday night on State Highway 302 at Farm to Market 1936. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, Keithan James Gould, 40, of Farmington, New Mexico, Angel A. Rico De Leon, 27, of Big Lake, and David Sanchez Serra, 35, of Dumas, were traveling west on 302 in a Chevrolet Malibu when the driver of a Ford F-350 failed to yield the right-of-way at a yield sign, causing the Malibu to hit the Ford. The men in the Malibu were pronounced dead at the scene of the crash, which took place shortly after 9 p.m. and resulted in both vehicles erupting into flames. The driver of the Ford, a 26-year-old man from Wichita, Kansas, and his passenger, a 40-year-old man from Seminole, were taken to Medical Center Hospital in stable condition, according to the DPS.
Good morning, this is Kim. I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, July 12th. Opening statements kick off murder trial. An Odessa defense attorney told jurors during opening statements in a murder trial Monday that the case they'll be hearing is about as clear a cut a case of self-defense as he's ever seen. Michael Schultz, 40, is accused of stabbing Roy Eugene Reeves 17 times on October 28, 2019. Reeves, a father of six and grandfather of nine, was in the process of divorcing Schultz's mother, Margaret, at the time. Defense attorney Scott Lay described Reeves as an abusive alcoholic who had had several run-ins with the police over his treatment of his wife. Assistant Ector County Attorney Scott Turner said Reeves was a happy drunk. Turner told jurors that in October 2019, the Reeves were in the process of going through a divorce and were arguing a great deal over dividing their dogs and property. The Reeves lived in a house in the 1900 block of North Lincoln Avenue, and Schultz lived in a home to the rear of the property. Shortly before his death, Eugene Reeves returned home after a protective order taken out by his estranged wife lapsed. Saw Schultz had placed a lot of cameras around the property, and he removed them, Turner said. On the evening of the slaying, he went to the home after receiving a text from Schultz. Throughout the trial, Turner told jurors, they'll hear from a neighbor who saw Schultz stabbing at Reeves and Reeves swinging wildly back before staggering toward his truck and collapsing. The witness thought Schultz was punching Reeves, but didn't realize he was actually holding a 3-inch-long, dull, serrated knife, the prosecutor said. Jurors will also hear from a jail inmate who will testify Schultz planned the murder. Turner said the inmate will testify Schultz told him he purposefully called Reeves a vulgar name, knowing Reeves would react and he'd be able to claim self-defense. Lay told jurors there was never such a conversation between Schultz and the inmate. None of that is true, Lay said. The defense attorney told jurors they'll hear about the multiple visits the police made to the Reeves home because of domestic violence. He blamed a family court attorney for allowing the protective order to lapse. Jurors will see on home surveillance videos that on the night in question, Reeves pulled into the home's driveway haphazardly, preventing a scared Megan Reeves from being able to leave, Lay said. They'll hear that Eugene Reeves' blood alcohol level was 0.283, which is more than three times the legal limit to drive. They'll also learn that Reeves jumped out of his truck, shook his wife, and had her pinned against the truck when his client jumped in to help her, Lay said. Had his client planned to murder Reeves, Lay said he would have used the shotgun he had by his front door. Instead, he used a knife he had on him for work. In the days prior to Reeves' death, Reeves had made multiple threats to his estranged wife, Schultz, and other family members, the defense attorney said. This was absolutely in defense of his mom and of himself, Lay said. The trial is being presided over by retired Ector County District Court Judge Tyrone Lewis in the 161st District Court. Just prior to opening statements, Lewis had to excuse a juror because she learned over the lunch break one of her children had tested positive for COVID-19, fearing she may too get COVID and spread it to her fellow jurors. The judge replaced her with an alternate. The judge and attorneys came close to having to excuse a second juror a short time later when she revealed she recognized one of the witnesses. They decided to keep her on board when she insisted she could remain unbiased. ECISD registration underway. All registration for returning students and those who are new to ECISD will be done online through the parent portal. The webpage has been revamped and the process simplified, especially for returning families. This will allow parents to register anytime from anywhere. You can always contact the campus if you have questions or need help. Midland motorcyclist killed. A 41-year-old Midland motorcyclist was killed after being struck by a pickup truck on State Highway 158 Saturday night. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, Travis John Griffin was on his Harley-Davidson when he failed to yield the right-of-way on State Highway 158 and South County Road 1110 and pulled out in front of a Ford F-150 to turn left. Griffin was not wearing a helmet, was pronounced dead at the scene of the crash, which happened around 11:30 p.m. Saturday. The 30-year-old Midland man driving the pickup wasn't hurt. Odessan dies after being struck by two vehicles. A 53-year-old Odessa man was killed late Sunday evening after being struck by two cars while crossing 42nd Street on foot. According to the Odessa Police Department, Shannon Miles was one of the several men who was walking south across 42nd Street near Golder Avenue when he was struck by two vehicles traveling west. Miles was pronounced dead at the scene. All of the drivers and witnesses on the scene told officers the traffic signal was green for westbound traffic, and Miles disregarded the pedestrian stop and go signal, according to OPD. No charges are pending at this time. The investigation continues. Report: trio arrested after attacking officers. A trio of Odessans was taken to jail over the weekend after police officers said they attacked them. According to an Odessa Police Department arrest affidavit, officers saw Valerie Cabello, 33, Mario Baeza, 30, and Gerardo Solis, 23, getting into a fight with a woman at Club Tequila on East 8th Street around 2 a.m. Sunday. A video of a small portion of the incident began making the rounds Sunday on social media, prompting the Odessa Police Department to release a statement on Monday stating all of the officers involved in the incident have been cleared of wrongdoing. Details of the incident contained in Monday's statement differ from those contained in an OPD arrest affidavit. According to the arrest affidavit, an off-duty officer was attempting to take Baeza into custody when Baeza and Cabello began to push the officer away. When officers tried to take Cabello into custody, they said she started punching an officer in the face and in the groin. While Cabello was being taken into custody, a handcuffed Baeza ran away and Solis hit an officer in the head with brass knuckles, the arrest affidavit states. Officers caught Baeza about 30 yards away and were able to take him and Solis into custody, according to the arrest affidavit. On Monday's statement, OPD stressed the video also captured a 19-second snippet of the event and then goes on to describe it. According to the statement, officers detained two men following the initial fight and Cabello interfered by pushing and pulling on an officer. At that point, another man struck the officer with brass knuckles and another officer showed up to detain Cabello as she tried to get back to the man being arrested. According to this statement, Cabela was placed into a vehicle so the officers could gain better control of her, but she turned and started punching him in the face. The officer hit Cabela in the upper torso and eventually threw her to the ground to create space and stop her resistance. At that point, Cabela flipped onto her stomach and started punching the officer in the groin, according to the statement. She stopped resisting after being tased. According to the statement, the incident was investigated and reviewed by OPD's Professional Standards Unit. After reviewing all of the body cam footage, the unit decided that actions of all of the officers involved was justified, according to the OPD statement. Cabela was booked into the Ector County Jail on suspicion of 2 counts of assault on a public servant, resisting arrest, interfering with a public servant, and public intoxication. She was released after posting surety bonds totaling $32,312. Baeza was booked on suspicion of resisting arrest, escape, and public intoxication. He was released after posting bond of $3,312. Salas was booked on suspicion of aggravated assault on a public servant, resisting arrest, and public intoxication. Salas was released after posting surety bonds totaling $51,812.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Is Prilosec saved for long-term care? Dear Dr. Roach, I have been diagnosed with acid reflux for 20 years, but have never been on any antacid medication until recently when my doctor prescribed Prilosec. My concern is whether it is safe for long-term use. Is there an ingredient in Prilosec that causes cancer? Answer. No medicine is completely safe, but Prilosec has been safely used for decades by many people. Long-term risks include an increased propensity to bacterial pneumonia, gastrointestinal infections such as C. diff, and poor absorption of vitamin B12 and calcium. When this class of medications was first introduced, there was concern about an increase in the type of tumor called gastric carcinoid based on laboratory animal studies. This has not been shown to be of concern in humans. Some antacid medicines have been contaminated by carcinogen called NDMA. Prilosec has not been implicated by this contamination. Many people who have been on Prilosec and similar powerful anti-ulcer drugs for years or decades do just fine if they are slowly tapered off the drug. Some people really need them to keep their symptoms under control. I usually try to taper them off, but if a person needs them, it's safe to continue them long term.
This is the Dear Abby column. Woman chooses to air issues with her family on Facebook. Dear Abby, I recently posted on Facebook about how I never get any recognition from my only son on my birthday, Mother's Day, or any holiday. My daughter-in-law then responded that I care more about my dogs than my grandchildren. I live in Florida, they live in Kansas. Last year, I offered to fly the girls to Florida for a visit, but was told no. I have asked that they come for a visit, but no visits have happened. I live alone and have 5 rescue dogs, 3 rescue cats, and foster abandoned kittens. In order for me to visit them, I would have to pay for airfare, parking, and a pet sitter, and would need a family member to pick me up and usher me around. I responded that if they wanted to pick up the tab, I would be happy to visit. They claim I do nothing to be a grandmother to their girls. Abby, I started a 529 college fund for them years ago. When I asked what they want me to do, I received no response. At this point, I'm considering changing my will and the beneficiary of my life insurance. When I asked Gain about what they wanted, she said she needed time. It's been weeks. What now? Signed, Not Measuring Up. Dear Not Measuring Up, not knowing your son and daughter-in-law's financial situation, I can only suspect that the reason they haven't taken you up on your invitation to visit is that they can't afford airfare for four, and think you can better afford to do the traveling. It is a shame you had to publicize on Facebook the fact that you have such a distant relationship with them, rather than pick up a phone and discuss it privately. I'm not sure what you expect your daughter-in-law to do at this point. Offer to pay for some or all of your expenses? Your money is, of course, yours to do with as you wish after your death, but wouldn't it be better spent cementing a relationship with your family while you're alive than using it to punish them after you're gone? There are alternative ways to visit virtually, to stay in touch, and show an interest in your grandkids. More and more people do it these days, and it isn't difficult. Dear Abby, I've been married 30 years to a man who is a good person in every way except one. He lies to me. It's mostly about inconsequential things, but over the last 6 months, his lies or omissions have rocked the foundations of our marriage. He does it typically to cover up behavior he's ashamed of. He has promised to be more truthful and transparent, but recently I caught him lying about something I saw with my own eyes. When I called him on it, he admitted the truth. Each time, he swears he will do better. Is he a pathological liar? I feel like I'm at the end of my rope, but I hate to throw away 30 years of marriage, and many more, if it's something that can be addressed. Please help. Signed, Sick of Lies in Massachusetts. Dear Sick, it appears the man you are married to is a compulsive liar. By now, it must be clear to both of you that unless he's willing to work on his inability to tell the truth and seek help from a mental health professional, nothing will change. If you are serious about, quote, throwing away 30 years of marriage, unquote, offer him that option before consulting a lawyer. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.